on Twitter, use at Travis Demers. Welcome, Travis, in. TD, thanks for the time. How's life treating you?
Well, it's busy, Steve. Thanks for having me. Thanks for thinking of me. We're in the middle of a move right now. So between that and my wife going back to work, it's just it's crazy, but it's good. It'll all settle down before you know it.
Eventually. You know, I'm trying to do the math. I know I've read you got here in Oregon about 2003. I found an article by Jamie Hudson. I'm guessing you were born around 1979, 1980. Am I in the neighborhood there?
81. Very, very close. 81.
Not bad. So you got to fill us in about growing up just north of New York City, obviously a sports fan. What were your team loyalties?
I mean, my team loyalties were very New York back then. I mean, Yankees, Rangers, Knicks, New York Giants. I was an Army football fan, a St. John's basketball fan. I mean, I was a New York sports fan all the way. I got very, very lucky with some of my teams and then not so lucky with others.
Yeah, well, when you were 13, the Rangers won it for the first time in a million years.
Uh-huh.
All we lived through was frustration with the Knicks. That's a story for another day.
Right.
I know you and your wife have two little boys, and I see one Twitter pic, one of the little guys decked out in Yankees gear. So would I be accurate in calling you a recovering Knicks fan? At this point, is it like, look, I loved you in the day, but, man, I can't split loyalties anymore.
I that's a great way of putting it, a recovering Knicks fan. I will always be a Yankees fan, but people ask me, well, are you still a Knicks fan? It's like, well, you don't always marry your first love, right? The first girl you date isn't necessarily the girl that you marry, and that's how it is for me. The Knicks were the first girl I dated. The Blazers are the girl that I married.
That's perfect. Me being born in 1960, I was there for the championship years. And I'm still involved in this abusive relationship, but we'll move on. Talking with the Blazer play-by-play man, Travis Demers. So I want to harken back to early September 2019. You'd been filling in for Brian Wheeler, obviously beloved, but now you're named the voice of the Trailblazers. I mean, we're talking one of just 30 of those jobs in the world. Travis, what's going through your head and heart? Because that's got to be a heck of a moment.
Yeah, I got teary-eyed. I mean, this is, when you grow up a sports fan, we've all done the same thing. So, where you've been in the driveway and did the play-by-play, like the crowd goes wild of, making the game-winning shot, or you miss it and all of a sudden, even though you count it down to zero, you put time back on the clock and you get the rebound and keep going. And, we've all been there. And for me, I've always wanted to do play-by-play. I did play-by-play in college. I moved out to Oregon to do play-by-play in Astoria and Seaside. And, I kind of went down the talk show route, but I was still doing play-by-play for high school, for the University of Portland, for the Hillsboro Hops. So when I got the chance to fill in for Brian Wheeler in 2018-19, it was one of those things where it's like, this is it. This is exactly what I've wanted to do. I don't know if I can go back to not doing this. And the Blazers made a change because, Wheels couldn't continue. And that summer, I was on pins and needles for months. Just ask my wife what it was like to live with me that summer. So when I finally got the job, it's like, this is it. I felt like I was living somebody else's life, the previous season, and now this is my life. It just I never thought that I was going to get this opportunity because you usually have to, if you're going the play-by-play route, you have to bounce around and do different minor leagues and small towns and things like that. And I did that a little bit, but I was fully content, doing the talk show thing in Portland for the rest of my life. And this opportunity came up. It's just, I can't even describe what that feeling was like.
No, it's awesome. I want to get to this past season. So let's go to October 20th, a couple hours before the opener against the Kings. So if I come up to you and say, Lillard's going to play his last game New Year's Eve. CJ's going to be in New Orleans. Olshay's going to be gone. The team's going to win two games after the All-Star break. Travis, are you calling the cops to report a crazy person? Insane was it?
Looking back on what we all thought last season was going to be on the positive side, they're going to win you know, 45 to 50 games, they're going to be a top four seed. I think you could have called the cops on us then. You know, looking back at it now, I mean, it was just, there was no fathomable way to think that the Blazers were going to finish, you know, under 30 wins, have a top seven pick. Dame was going to play 29 games, and it was going to be one of the most painful seasons in franchise history. I mean, there was no way, because after making the playoffs the year before, well, defense was the issue. Okay, you bring in Larry Nance Jr., who is a really solid defensive player. He's going to fill out the rotation. Okay, Norman Powell is going to play the small forward. He's small, but he can make it work. Very good offensive player, can get to the rim. Good defender. Anthony Simons is going to continue to grow. Nasir Little is continuing to grow. And Dame is going to be healthy. All this great stuff is going to happen, and that is not at all the way it happened. You could not possibly have told me the story of last season before the season, and I would have thought you were anything but crazy.
Another development as we continue with Travis DeMers, Blazer play-by-play man. So it's April 15th. We know Portland's going to be in the lottery. New Orleans is an underdog at the Clippers. They lose, and then so instead of two potentially high lottery picks, I mean, if you incorporate Paul George testing positive for COVID and losing that pick, I mean, at this point, knowing the history of the franchise from Bowie to Odin to Brandon Roy, you're starting to believe in curses at all?
You know what? As a Yankee fan, 2004 reminds me that there's no such thing as a curse.
Okay.
You know, so I don't believe in curses. I did, and then unfortunately the Red Sox proved otherwise. So no, I don't believe in curses. I think it's just it's the odds of these things happening. I mean, think about it. See, I mean, when the Blazers made the trade, okay, the lottery pick is sitting right there, and the Pelicans were sitting outside of the playoffs looking in. Nobody expected the Lakers to be as bad as they were in the last, you know, 25 games of the season. Nobody expected, you know, the things that happened with the Clippers, with Paul George getting COVID. We thought the Pelicans would be pretty good, but okay, if they make the play-in, they're going to have to go through most likely the Lakers and the Clippers on the road. They're not winning both those games, right? Instead, they get San Antonio at home. San Antonio was, I mean, they're okay. They're not very good. New Orleans was favored in that game. They should have won. And then, especially in that game, too, when the Pelicans blew the lead and the Clippers come back and they take a big lead. Okay, whew, all right, we're going to get this pick after all. And then all of a sudden the fourth quarter happens, and no, yeah, that pick's not happening. It just it's unbelievable the way all that went down. There, believe it or not, there was a lot of profanity that day.
Yeah, New Yorkers cursing? No way. This is new.
No way.
So another preseason major story was Chauncey Billups, new head coach, first time. Obviously, there was no way to visualize what was headed his way. But you hear from fans, you follow fellow media members, NBA people around the league. So, Travis, what's a fair evaluation of Phillips season one? And if you feel he's, you know, got the confidence in the players and franchise moving forward?
Yeah, I don't know if there is a fair evaluation. I mean, the team had more players start a game than any other Blazers team in franchise history by a significant amount. I mean, the previous record was 17 different players starting a game for the Trailblazers. 23 different guys started a game for the Blazers, and they had 16 on their opening night roster. I mean, it's ridiculous. So you think about that with all the 10-day contract guys down the stretch that are not going to be on the team next year. Players at the end of the bench who are not rotation players who were starting and getting significant minutes. And some of that was really good because we figured out who Trenton Watford was. We figured out who Brandon Williams was. But, you know, some of these guys are not going to be on the team. You know, Reggie Perry with a couple of different 10-day contracts, he started the final game of the season. That's not what this team envisioned. There are ways to evaluate Chauncey Billups, right? And he talked about it, that he learned how to use rotations, but the players that he was playing, they're not going to be in his rotation. The minutes are going to be so different when he has his full team out there. You know, end of game situations, all of that stuff is important, but it's really hard to look at specific things and say, well, they should have won this game or they should have done that differently when the team was playing guys that either aren't going to play or aren't going to be on the team next year. I mean, for the final 23 games of the season, aside from a couple of games with Anthony Simons, nobody who played on opening night was active after the All-Star break.
Wow.
This was such a different team. I mean, the entire starting five, there's a picture from this season from earlier in the year where Damian Lillard was on his back and the other four starters were around him with their hands out pulling him up. And it became such a great picture from Bruce Ely, who's a phenomenal photographer. It ended up on the cover of the team yearbook. Damian Lillard's the only player who is on the team still. All the other guys are gone. So it's really hard to evaluate and look at that when the team that finished the season is so beyond unrecognizable. It's not even worth the effort to try and explain it.
No, it was unique in all the wrong ways.
Yes.
A couple final thoughts for the voice of the Blazers, Travis DeMers. So history has shown Top Gun free agents always shun this franchise. I've always thought it was a mystery. The city is magnificent. The fan base loves you unconditionally. So is there any logic now with Lillard's status, his willingness to be a recruiter, maybe the respect Billups has among players for his career, that might finally change?
No, I don't think it changes, because I don't think free agency is the avenue this team needs to get better. There is cap space, but it's also a myth because they have money tied up in cap holes with Anthony Simons and Yusuf Nurkic and their draft picks. So there is a way to create cap space, but you have to renounce Yusuf Nurkic and Josh Hart and Anthony Simons and all this stuff just to create enough cap space to sign somebody like that. The way this team is going to get better is with trades. They can make unbalanced trades. There's a lot of rumors out there of different players, Jeremy Grant, John Collins, OG Anunoby. To me, that's the way this team is going to get better. Whether that means they keep the seventh pick or trade it, I don't know what players are going to be available at seven. I don't know what players they can go get for their number seven pick. But if you look at Damian Lillard coming off of this surgery, where he's had the most rest, 9 months of rest, and he needs it mentally and physically. If he is back to the Damian Lillard we know, and Anthony Simons continues his growth and development, and Yusuf Nurkic is back and looks like the Nurk we saw, before the All-Star break last year, and they use these assets to trade for a starting three and a starting four that have length and can play defense, I mean, it sounds great on paper, and when you do the math, like, well, of course that's going to work. It's going to be a great team. Now it's up to Joe Cronin to make that work, but I think the way that he's going to do that is with trades. The only free agent situations are going to be maybe a mid-level exception guy or, minimum type players. They're not going to go out and land a big-time free agent.
Yeah, well, and it's never been the proper avenue anyway. But I want to wrap for selfish reasons. They've got the best record in baseball, although no one with the bat outside of Aaron Judge really having a big year. Stanton has made his annual pilgrimage to the injured list. The pitching has come around. So as we sit here the beginning of June, how are we feeling about these New York Yankees?
I'm terrified because they're expectations again, right? We know right. What it's like to have expectations, but, in the mid-90s and early 2000s, the expectations were that they're invincible. And then 2001 rolls around, and Tony Womack hits the ball off of Rivera down the line, and Luis Gonzalez comes up, and it's like, wait a minute, they're not invincible. And then 2003, the Marlins get them, and they don't win again until 2009. It's been 13 years, and in that last 13 years, I think I've been reconditioned as a Yankee fan to expect the worst, right? So they look great in mid-June. But is the pitching going to hold up? Is Cortez going to be great all year? Is this a regular season thing? Is Gerrit Cole as dominant as he was? Can he be that guy in the postseason? Is Chapman over the hill in terms of a dominant closer? And he's on the DL. It's terrifying because with expectations comes disappointment.
That 0-2 hanging cutter to Womack in the ninth inning haunts me 21 years later. guy just wakes me up in the middle of the night. But anyway, folks, he's Travis Demers entering year four as the play-by-play voice of the Blazers. TD, great having you on. Really appreciate the time. Wishing you and your family a safe, healthy, happy summer. And obviously, as the season gets closer, I'll look forward to catching you up. But thanks a million for finding some time.
I appreciate it, Sam. See you. We got to do this more often.
That's a lock. Great stuff from Travis. Good insight. And again, always appreciate somebody coming on for the first time. I will take a break, come back, wrap up the whole week next. 95.3 The Score.